It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You know what that means? It's time for Here Now with Rachel C. It's a double whammy tonight, guys. I've got in studio guests and I've got a Conan guest later. Joining me first in studio tonight, the one and only Aunt Vicky. They're in town. They're in the studio. Then later on, I'll be talking with the one and only, the legendary Grammy Award winning songwriter. It's an honor to be speaking with him, Frankie Pravit. Right now, we're going to kick things off with a little something something from one of my favorites, the Black Angels. This is The Return. Was the Black Angels a few albums ago, They're popular here on the show. Took it back. That was Off Directions to See a Ghost. That was a return. Listening here now with Rachel C. on Radio Free Brooklyn. We stream live every Thursday from 7 to 8. Very quickly, before we get into things, I will remind you that we are a 501c3. Get your write-offs on. Support artisanal, small-batch, independent, farm-to-table radio. This is a show that supports live performance culture. On that note, I want to tell you about things to go out and see and do. I want you to go out and see and do the thing. I'm going to go through this quickly because my first guest is only here for part of the show. Because why? They've got, like, gigs tonight. Like, they're you guys are, like, triple booked tonight if you include my show, right? And Vicky is in the studio tonight. Actually, let's just start by, we'll split the listings tonight. We'll talk about the Red Hook Rocks weekly show because that's part of what brought you here to town in the first place. That's every Friday at Rocky Sullivan's. $5, three bands, can't go wrong, over on Beard Street in Brooklyn. You're the first band on the bill, and Vicky, you will be joined by the Minettes and Basic Bitches, or as Jeannie Fry wrote in her email, the happy return of Basic Bitches, which I just wanted to say that because I thought it was the most hilarious thing, that phrase, the welcome return of Basic Bitches. I'm joined by Aunt Vicky in studio. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Lee.
I'm Aaron.
You guys are a couple.
Yes, we are.
Yes. So not the first, like, sort of couple that play music together, or band couple within a band or family band that's been on the show. Just curious, were you a couple first before you started playing together?
Yeah, we've been together for about 3 years, and we've had the band for about a year now.
We both had our own separate thing for a while, and then we decided to move to New Orleans. We kind of left the stuff behind, started our own thing.
Do you think that was sort of something that kind of happened, was sort of bound to happen, like two creative people, like, kind of getting together, eventually you're going to make some music together?
I think it was inevitable. It just took a while to get there.
Yeah. How's that been for you guys so far? Is it sort of a very different experience?
It's awesome.
Really great.
We both know when the other one needs time or space. We both take each other seriously. No one's like, hey, what are you wasting all this time practicing the same song for 7 hours?
Yeah, and we're both really serious about it and have a lot of energy for it, so it works out well having a similar direction.
Well, since you guys are family, and the name of the band, I have to ask, Aunt Vicky, is that an actual person?
Yes,
in
that
your
is
life?
My Aunt Vicky.
There
yes.
is an actual Aunt mm-hmm. Vicky.
That's a very spunky lady.
Yeah. She used to sing in a rock band when I was a kid, and I used to watch her and think it was amazing and wanted to play one day because of that.
Oh, wow. So hats off to Aunt
yeah.
Vicky. Thank you, Aunt Vicky. Listening to Here Now with Rachel C. Yeah, I listened to your music, and what I found interesting about it was that it's sort of, it's a little bit of a, like, a trip, like not in the psychedelic sense, but like a bit of a journey. Like, some one song kind of wasn't quite like the next one. Not like, are your influences pretty varied in that sense then?
I would say we have different styles of approaching writing. We're both uh-huh. writing for it. We both bond on the fact that we love the Beatles and we're kind of diehard about that, which is hilarious. But yeah, we have a lot of influences we're drawing from.
Uh-huh.
He likes to write whatever song comes to him. I tend to kind of go down a rabbit hole with a certain sound.
Yeah.
But
do you find, I'm assuming New Orleans must have really informed your sound.
Definitely. I don't think we have
surrounded by sounds when you're there.
There is something sort of the mood of the town too. It's kind of witchy. I don't know. Kind of that kind of infiltrated what we were doing as well.
Well, and also
a little ethereal.
We were alone. We didn't know a lot of people, so we spent a lot more time on working on the craft.
What, just going to adjust this mic here. What led you to New Orleans?
Well, we moved into a camper while it was summer in Michigan, and we knew that if we wanted to continue living in a camper, we were going to have to move south.
Okay.
We both wanted to live in a city where music was definitely a presence.
Right.
We wanted to live somewhere southern, and that's kind of, neither of us have ever been there.
We just kind of
crash landed there. Yeah, we had a couple of things in mind, and that kind of, once we got there, we're like, yeah, let's stay here for a while. This is really cool.
That was working out for mm-hmm. you.
We ran out of money, and we were close enough to New Orleans that we just went the extra couple of miles.
Yeah.
Close enough. It's on the map. Well, it is. I mean, it's a town that nurtures and takes care of music.
The music community is so nice down there. That's one thing, we were very welcomed, and everybody was helpful. If you put yourself out there, people catch you in that town. It's one
That's
of those.
Awesome.
Part of what makes the album more of a journey and less of like a groove or like a dancey kind of thing is we don't have bass and drums, and mm-hmm. we made the decision to not add them because this is what we sound like live.
Right.
So, and I play bass and drums. I play most of the standard rock band instruments, piano. Mm-hmm. And so we could have done it, but we didn't have a drum set. We didn't have time.
We kind of chose to do like to make it pure to what we were where we were.
Wow.
At the time. So that kind of informs the sound of the album as well.
Okay. And so you guys are, you're in town for doing a lot of shows, actually. So you've got tonight, so if you're listening and you really like what you hear, you got to see him. Take us with you on the apps. We got one for iPhone and Android. There's my opportunity to plug our apps. Or just take yourself over to Otto's Shrunken Head tonight at 8 o'clock. Otto's is still around. I love the spaces that we've lost a lot of spaces in New York. Otto's Shrunken Head, been around forever, not going anywhere on 14th Street. You're playing tonight at 8.
We're playing at 9.
At 9.
9 to 10. And then we play again at Rockwood Music Hall at midnight.
So 9 o'clock, Otto's Shrunken Head, Rockwood Music Hall at midnight. Tomorrow night, you're the first on the bill at Red Hook Rocks at Rocky Sullivan's. Mm-hmm. And you've got another show while you're in town?
We're playing out on Montauk on Sunday.
No, we have one on Tuesday as well at the
Much More
Showcase.
Okay, at Much More's, yes. Well, you guys are busy. So you kind of talked about, if one more thing last before maybe we get into some playing some live music here. You did mention you kind of took your camper down to New Orleans. Do you guys kind of live on the road playing music, or like not that you live on the
road?
We've
kind of just started to. We're loosely planning on ending up in Asheville for probably some of the winter.
Right.
Kind of regrouping and figure out where we're going. We might tour out west next winter. We're kind of like in a transitory phase.
Trying to figure out where we want to be.
We want to figure out where the best place for our music is, and we just eloped a couple months ago. Uh-huh. And we don't own a home or have children or anything like that. We're both focused on the music, so we're kind of letting us take it.
We've been either with friends or family since July. We left New Orleans
We were in Michigan for a month and a half where we're from. Kind of played a lot of festivals and shows there. And I guess we're still kind of trying to figure out where we want to be indefinitely.
Well, you're playing the music, and hopefully that kind of takes you where you're supposed to go. You landed in Brooklyn, and specifically in Bushwick tonight, which has kind of become a little bit of a little Nashville in the last couple of years with all the small spaces and stuff like that. But you landed some Manhattan shows and you're playing Rocky Sullivan's tonight. So I think you're very quickly going to find yourselves in the New York City music community, which is a very supportive kind of scene. Kill the music right there. Cause I know you guys, like I said, when we were prepping for the show, the time does go quickly. You guys had a little something prepared for us.
Right? Yeah. This is a song called Body Like a Cave. I wrote it about meditating. It's moving through me, my identity dissolving, my sense of reality pulling at my feet, and isn't it soothing to loosen my grip on anything? Letting it slip through me, my body like a cave. Rattling my sense of what's me, shaking at the knees, and isn't it soothing to lose my grip on everything, letting it slip through you, your body like a cave.
isn't it soothing to lose my grip on everything, letting it slip through me, my body like a cane.
Wow. Thank you for that. I've heard that before, but it's interesting hearing it again, knowing that it was about meditation. That I did not know. That's mm-hmm. like bringing it to a whole level, that song. What sort of, so that I guess leads me to another question. Like what sort of, what's inspiring the lyrics? I mean, clearly the sound is inspired by the environment a lot. Like we talked about New Orleans just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, our songwriting's, well, we both write a lot, so it's about 50-50.
Yeah.
A lot of my songs are inspired by, I'm a kind of an overthinker and I like to think about what I'm doing here and why, and picking apart that kind of stuff. So they get kind of heavy sometimes.
Like here in the universe, not here in Berkeley.
Yeah, I mean, like here in the universe, why am I here? I think mine Lee's a very versatile songwriter.
Mine are mostly like some sort of life experience that's happened to me, some memory or some nostalgia that triggers something that I really can feel about. Whenever I write something that I actually like, I kind of get a little choked up.
Yeah, I think we're both autobiographical, definitely emotional writers.
Very emotive in the songwriting.
Yes,
there.
Sure. Yeah.
Sitting here now with Rachel C. with Aunt Vicky on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you miss any of tonight's episode, we'll be up in the archives next week on Tuesday. So you guys are in town. We just talked about the two gigs tonight, the one gig tomorrow, the other next week. Where else will you be playing? What's in store for you guys?
We're heading south. We're going to be playing at Rehoboth Beach, a couple gigs over there.
Oh,
Dogfish
fun.
Head Brewery is one of the gigs we're playing.
Oh, nice.
Miss Billion Brewery.
Yeah.
It actually sounds like a kind of a fun thing.
Yeah,
to
I think it'd
do.
Be pretty fun. And then we also are heading down towards Charleston and playing a gig called the Owendog Green. It's like this big barn stage that has like 7x a day. And they put you up in cabins. I'm really excited about that one.
Oh, nice.
We've got some gigs in Georgia, and then we're going to Asheville, where I think we're going to park it, and we have quite a few that are happening over there.
Right. We mentioned Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
So since you guys are obviously on the road a lot and touring a lot, I'll ask a question of you guys that I ask all of my guests, not just musicians, but theater folks, comedians, that I know have played here and other places. What's a city that stands out to you as a live performer, like New York versus other?
This is our first tour ever.
Yeah, right. We're pretty new at this. So
far, Brooklyn is by far the best.
Oh, absolutely. This whole town has been cooler than anywhere else.
Oh, really?
No offense to everywhere else. Actually, but in New Orleans, playing on Frenchman Street, we did play a really cool gig at Three Muses. That has a really good energy to it.
Not that you're supposed to pick favorites, but like, just is there like a difference playing like one city versus another?
Orleans was very different and kind of terrifying for us because we were down in the middle of all the crazy on Frenchman Street with all the horn bands and the jazz bands, and we're like,
we don't really fit
not.
Into this.
I mean, I play the trumpet, but it's not like a jazz.
Yeah, different style
I'd
of music.
Say I'm feeling the vibes here as far as the style of music and the kind of places we're playing are all really cool and eclectic.
Right.
And just the energy here. It's crazy. This is my first time in New York City, and the energy here is really awesome.
Oh, well, welcome. I'm glad you
I lived in Seattle for like 10 years, and Seattle is really cool too, but I wasn't really playing the kind of venues I'd want to be playing now back when I was living there.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah, that's got a cool vibe too, as far as music.
Yeah, we've got a lot of spaces. We've got a lot of DIY spaces too.
I really like that about it. Seems like people are excited about the music here, so that's fun.
Yes, people are. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you are sensing that because that's we want things to be like. You had another one lined up for us. What's it called?
This is called The Names of Things. It's on it's on piano on the album, but we had to learn how to cover our own song, kind of. It's fun.
This be interesting. Thank you for that.
How does this work? What do I say to the machine today? Hey, this is me. I'm supposed to be leaving a message. How does this work? What do I say when everything's coded these days? And all of the words that I send you get erased. I wish I could change your mind. Believe you must be going insane. I put you good. Shoes on. I head out the window, 'cause it's time to go. I can't go with you. When we were young, we knew the tall ones. We lived in their cave, and they taught us the names of things. Now we're older, and we're all the same. I miss the easy things. I hope you come back someday.
Thank you for that. Wow, that was great. It's like very cool hearing the song one way and then another way. It's always a cool experience. Which, hey, another question. So everyone, we like what we're hearing, right? So where does one listen to Aunt Vicky music?
Well, we are on all social media. I mean, we are on Instagram and Facebook, but we have a website called AuntVicky.rocks.
.rocks.
Vicky is with two I's.
Vicky is spelled with two I's, so it's Aunt, V-I-C-K-I, .rocks.
Okay, great.
And we have links to our Facebook and Instagram there if anyone wants to follow along.
It's all on Spotify and iTunes and Amazon and all that fun stuff, too.
Great. So you can stream it, but you can purchase it also, so you can actually own it. I encourage... All right, kids, you can still own your music. It's good. Support the artist. Actually buy the thing. Okay.
We all appreciate it.
Buy the stuff. Great. So if you want to... So follow them on the socials. Keep up with all the magical touring days. Like, you guys are everywhere, which is very cool. And it sounds like you're playing some interesting things. The Dogfish Brewery, but then the other stuff.
We booked our own tour. You know, we didn't have any connections out here. So we kind of tried a lot of different venues, and we got a lot of interesting shows because of that.
And I think you're actually playing some really cool spots tonight, just like where you're kind of like downtown hopping in Red Hook. The Rocky Sullivan's will be a good place for you tomorrow.
I'm excited about that one.
And you're playing some really nice spots while you're here, and it sounds like you're going to some really cool spots and really cool cities.
It's a little more rock and roll when we're playing electrics, too.
This is a pared down version of what we do, too.
A lot of what happens on the show has, over the years, gotten progressively more pared down. It has to do with just how the station has evolved and how we've streamlined the show. Like, Kira Now has evolved over the years, and part of it's had to do with, like, streamlining things. I appreciate you guys coming out. Is there anything else we want to mention? The album is out. It's the album is called
It's self-titled
Aunt Vicky. I am not forgetting that.
Well, we recorded it all in New Orleans this winter in a studio that we've rented, and then the very first track was recorded completely in the camper we lived in for a year.
That I didn't know.
Yeah, so that track was completely beginning to end recorded in the camper.
That I didn't know. Wow. I encourage you all to listen to it. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, it's kind of a little bit of a journey. Like, one song might sound... There are songs that sound on that album that sound very different from other ones. So, like, I would say it's one of those albums where there can be different things for different people. Like, a little bit of something for everybody on it. And go check these guys out live. Definitely go and do that. You can do it tonight, guys. 9 o'clock at Otto's. Midnight. Too early for you? Rockwood Music Hall. Or, I'm sorry, is that not enough notice? Tomorrow night, Red Hook Rocks, or get out to Long Island next week. Thank you guys for being here
tonight.
Thank
you so much.
I know
you
got to start wrapping things up because you all have a gig. Thank you for squeezing me in. Let's take a little music break. We're going to take a music break. I'll be back on the mic in just a moment with some more listings, and we've got another guest phoning in. Let's listen to some Aunt Vicky. This is Down in the Valley.
The world used to be an oyster for me. I could drink off a dollar or a dime, and I never thought I'd amount to much till I came into some land. It was handed to me, given free, by a stranger who said he was my pa. Now some people come, more often they go, so I sit at this local's bar. But now I'm down in the valley, where I can't pay the rent, and the city won't let me sleep. Yeah, I've wandered away, but I know I'll come back to those faces and names. Debts must be paid, time runs away in this place. He's down in the valley, where he can't pay the rent, and the city won't let him be. Yeah, they've locked him away, but I know he'll come back to us, faces and names. Debts must be paid, time runs away in this place. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You're still listening to Here Now with Rachel C. on Radio Free Brooklyn. We just, I guess, and Vicky on the program. We had a strike on the set. They are loaded out and off to Otto's Shrunken Head. So I got a little couple of announcements to read to you before our call-in guest arrives, so to speak. There was another event I want to tell you about. Friend of the show, one half of the Falling Birds, Stephen Artemis, has a single release show tomorrow night at Pete's Candy Store. That's Friday, the 6th of September in the year 2019. He goes on at 11 p.m. Go and check it out and support him. There is music all night long, though. Also, I mentioned briefly the mobile apps. Did you know we also have a newsletter? Sign up for our newsletter to keep up to date with programming, upcoming Radio Free Brooklyn events, tickets, giveaways, interviews, special offers on RFB swag, and more. Sign up at radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. Lots of cool stuff happening in the next couple of months and into the new year. You want to get that newsletter. You want to find out what's going to be happening first. The after-school program still up and running, ran through the summer. We're going to keep that rocking and rolling through the school year. These are programs for local teens to learn media literacy through media making using a hands-on approach guided by local professionals. If you're interested in making a donation to the program or participating, perhaps there is a skill or service which you can, you know, donate to the program. Please go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/afterschool. Remember, those monetary donations, all tax deductible. Get your write-offs on, people, for the end of the year. I'll be here before you know it. Another thing I want to talk to you about, podcasting services, we offer them. We offer podcasting services at competitive rates. If you buy a couple at a time, you bundle them, you save. We offer probably the most competitive rates in the area. You can come into this studio here, a professional studio, and you'll get a technician to work with you. Get yourself a really nice sounding recording. You got a great idea. It's been sounding great, except you're recording in your kitchen. Get it out of the kitchen. Get it into professional hands. Get it here to Radio Free Brooklyn, okay? Sign up out of the kitchen into an actual recording studio. Get your podcast sounding tight. Get it out there. You heard me. All right. In just about 5 minutes, we're going to be hearing from my next guest. So let's play another song. This is Feed the Babies from Garrett Clark Jr.
Listen, 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 listen.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air on Radio Free Brooklyn. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Hi, Frankie Previt. This is Rachel Cleary. How you doing?
I'm good, Rachel. How are you?
Thanks for being on the show tonight. Welcome to the program. So ladies and gentlemen, my next guest is with us, so to speak. So Mike, Frank, you, thanks for calling in tonight. Where do we start with your career and your CV? This could fill the room. You've been around forever. We can start at the beginning or maybe more recently. You were a member going back, a group called Frankie and the Knockouts. You've recently re-released some material. We'll get to that in a second.
Right.
You're a prolific songwriter, composer, performer. You're probably very best known for writing two very, very well-known songs that were featured in Dirty Dancing. The songs that you could cover your ears back when they were released and you could still hear them. I think they're actually officially called, they are tallied as two of the most played songs ever. And you've got a couple other projects going on right now. You composed I've Had the Time of My Life and Hungry Eyes. That was already after a substantial career in music. And now you've kind of recently gathered all of your material. So much information about you, sir. You gathered a lot of some of your older material that was out there onto one big box set.
I did.
Did I manage to keep all of this straight?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. This guy that I've known for years, his name's Joe Rigozzo, has a label called Friday Music. And, you know, he's a fan. He was a promotion man for many years for RCA and a lot of different labels. And then he just became a really big fan of music as the music industry went through its phases of change. And Joe decided that he was going to try to find all of these groups that he had worked with through the years and some that he didn't work with through the years and try to put his hands on their catalog and re-release nowadays and put them out, stream them, put them out on CDs, put them out on vinyl again. So he called me, and I'm telling you, this guy has at least 100 or so different really unbelievable albums. If you go to FridayMusic.com, you'll see all of the different groups that he has, and they're pretty amazing. So he called me and said, you know, would you consider doing a Frankie and the Knockouts collection of all your records? And I really thought, you know, here's a chance. Because the third Frankie and the Knockout record was called Making the Point. And we had switched labels to MCA. And MCA decided that they wanted us to sound like Night Ranger, which was like totally baffling to me because they had Night Ranger on their label. And so they brought Night Ranger's producer in and they mixed the song. And they said, we're going to put this song out. And I said, it's the wrong song. Radio's not going to play that song. There are other great songs on this record that you're missing out on. Oh, no, we're going to put this song out. So they did, and radio didn't play it, and they dropped us.
Right.
So now I have a chance to get that record out there along with 11 other demos that I had done through the years when I was an R&B singer on Buddha Records, to when I was in a band, a heavier metal band called Bull Angus on Mercury Records. And so I took all these demos. I have 11 of these unreleased demos. Plus, I have 6 live Frankie and the Knockout tracks, which are really precious to me because it gives the audience really a chance to hear Frankie and the Knockouts live and realize, geez, these guys were a really good rock and roll band. And
right.
So the song Sweetheart, which was our top 10 hit back in 1981, kind of showed a lighter, poppier side of us that, you know, radio embraced and RCA and Millennium Records embraced. And so we got tagged as kind of a pop band. And we always wanted to be, you know, right up there with the Foreigners and Journeys of the world. And when we played out, we became that. But this collection gives you a chance to hear that side of us.
Yeah, sometimes
that's why I'm putting it out.
Yeah, sometimes when a song is covered, you realize sometimes a song is a good song when it can be an R&B song or a pop song or a metal song or a rock song, depending on just the way it's played. You've got a good solid well.
Yeah, I'm losing you a little bit, so you're
okay.
I'm hearing like every other word. So can you repeat?
Sure.
That a little bit?
I was just saying, I feel that when you've got a well written, well constructed song, it can be a pop song or an R&B song or a hard rock song, and covers sometimes bring that to light.
Sure, sure. Also when a band like us, we first recorded Sweetheart, it was off of our first record, and it was the last song that I had written for the record, and Jimmy Einer, who was the president of the label, looked at me and goes, "That's really a pop song." He says, "It could be a hit record, but radio could, you know, really tag you as a pop band." He says, "You sure you want to put that bullet in the gun?" So I loaded the gun with the song, and, you know, obviously it became a top 10 single for us and gave us this instant notoriety, but it also labeled us as a pop band. So there's a blessing and a curse that happened at the same time, but I just felt, you know what, it's better to be out there and have a chance to at least get heard. And it was first time I ever had a hit record, and I could drive down Livingston Avenue in New Brunswick and hear myself on the radio. So that was a dream come true.
I bet. Speaking of which, what was it like? I'm sure you've heard this question 100 times, but I'm wondering what it must be like to kind of go from, you know, kind of you're living, from what I understood, you're from New Jersey, you're living in New Jersey, selling cars, I think it was, you know, playing garage band to you have this hit. And you have this hit, and things kind of, I guess, you, in short, because this new label wants to market you a little differently, things don't go anywhere. And you go from that kind of, you go from you're working hard to getting that success. What was that like? What was that moment like where you kind of like, we realize you kind of made it? Like you're not just like working at you're hearing yourself on the radio.
Making it is an interesting word, because you're always trying to make it.
So
give up trying to make the next thing you're doing be successful.
So that's a bit of an illusion then.
For me, it was always just, even though I sold cars out of my driveway, I was still writing songs every day. I was still taking voice lessons. I was still trying to live my dream. And luckily, I had parents that owned an apartment house, and they gave me a place to live and $25 a week to go get voice lessons. So I had the support of my parents always behind me. My dad was an opera singer. So there was always, you can make it, you can do it. So that support really kept me believing in myself. And my voice was always what got me, you know, as a singer to where I wanted to go. And then one day, I wrote a song that became bigger than my voice, and that was "I've Had the Time of My Life," and then I became a songwriter.
Right. So that kind of interesting segue there. You wrote "Time of My Life" and also "Hungry Eyes," right?
Correct.
Yeah.
But I wrote "Hungry Eyes" way before I wrote "Time of My Life." When MCA dropped us, I was working and working, trying to get another record deal, and "Hungry Eyes" was written for the next Frankie and the Knockouts record.
All right, so that
never happened.
That was written not for the film. That was the song that you had.
That was for a Frankie and the Knockout record, but "Time of My Life" was written for the film.
Gotcha. So it was just, I'm just curious how the whole Dirty Dancing project came about. Was that something that you were kind of tapped for? Were they just needing some music and you said, "Hey, I have the song here, Hungry Eyes," and that
kind of? No, totally opposite of that. You know, I was, again, home writing songs, and that guy Jimmy Einer I told you about earlier calls me up, and I'm writing and trying to get, you know, another record deal, and he goes, "I got this little movie, and I want you to try to write a song for it." You know, they've gotten like 149 songs that were submitted. They turned them all down. You know, they really need a song. They're going to start to film in 2 weeks. So he got 2 weeks. And I said, Jimmy, I don't have time. I'm really busy. And he said to me, make time. This is going to change your life. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. You're going to change my life, you know, like you did a couple of years ago. And I just said, Jimmy, what's the name of this movie? And he said, Dirty Dancing. So my hand went to my forehead and I thought, oh my God, Jimmy's doing porn. You know, so I thought it was a porn flick. And he goes, no, this is a great little movie. You know, it's about Johnny meets baby and the father doesn't want them together. And he gives me this 5-minute description of what the movie was about and tells me I have to write a song that's 7 minutes long because the last scene is 7 minutes. And I'm thinking, I got to write MacArthur Park here. So I call up John DiNicola, who I wrote Hungry Eyes with. And I tell him, I give him a little bit of a vibe of what they want. And I said, John, 7 minutes, man. We got to start the song with the chorus. And I said, this song is never going to be a hit record. It's way too long. But started with the chorus in halftime. And when downbeat on the first verse, we'll double time it and we'll make it a dance track. And so he sent me a track. I played it over the phone to Jimmy. And he goes, I like the vibe. Write a song. So I was in my car driving to a recording studio on the Garden State Parkway in New Jersey, exit 140, when I put this cassette in my dashboard and listened to this music, and I started jamming, going, na-na-na, time of my life, na-na-na, time of my life, and I'm scribbling time of my life on an envelope, and basically the man upstairs wrote the rest of the song because I had no idea what this movie was about.
It just kind of came right through you, it sounds like.
Well, something happened. It was just, you know, the stars were aligned. And when I met Patrick Swayze at the Academy Awards, he was like all over me. Who sang this? Who wrote what? And I'm going, what's up, Pat? He goes, we hated this movie. And I go, how did you hate this movie? He goes, we didn't have a song, and we filmed at a sequence. We filmed the last scene first and didn't have a song until the 150th cassette showed up, and it was your song and you singing. I said, yeah, with Rochelle Capelli. And he goes, and we filmed that day to you singing. And so when I'm lip syncing, when the breakdown of the song, I had the time of my life, it's to you singing. And he goes, it changed everybody's vibe for this movie. He goes, we just looked at each other and went, holy cow, what a great ending. Let's go make a movie. So, you know, it's the power of music. You know, I don't know why, or, you know, I'm not questioning anything. I'm just there for the ride. I'm taking the ride.
Yeah, you made it a good ride for the whole cast and crew there then. Part of what I think is so incredible about the Dirty Dancing thing is that, and significant, is that it's, you wrote two hits. Those were two hit songs. You didn't write them simultaneously, but on the one off the one soundtrack, there were two hits, Hungry Eyes and I Had the Time of My Life, that were written by the same person that were hit simultaneously. So that must have just been, quite a trip.
It was a double whammy, you know, having, you know, two songs that became, you know, hit records. Having My Life went over the top. I mean,
you couldn't escape that song.
20 songs ever played. So
yeah.
And it's, I mean, I, you know, it's a dream beyond my dream. I never would have dreamt this would have happened for me, but it did. And I'm thankful and I'm blessed.
Yeah. And
that's how I think.
And then you had Hungry Eyes, which was some material you had. You got to take a song that you had meant for your band, and that took off too. So
Hungry Eyes is more in my wheelhouse as a you know, songwriter. You know, it was more about how I perceived myself as a songwriter. But, you know, another good thing with releasing this new collection is that the record label asked me if they could release a single. And I thought, you know what, maybe I can get that third record heard. So on September 27th, Come Rain or Shine, off of that third Frankie and the Knockout record, which Jeff Picara from Toto played on. So he's the drummer on that. And it's in the same feel as Sweetheart, in that 6/8 feel. So, you know, if you pick up a copy of that record, you'll hear Come Rain or Shine. It's our new single off of that album.
And I love that after like all this time, you know, there is the opportunity, you're saying, to kind of get all that other music out, you know, that's kind of been there.
It is, you know, and it also has connected me with a lot of people from, you know, different radio stations and people like you that were fans of mine. And even, you know, a guy named Ken Franklin, who's a good friend back in 1981, who helped break Sweetheart, you know, has called me up and said, you know what, I want to be involved in helping this new collection. And he goes, it's just something in me. It's part of who I am. And I think that I would love to be involved in help, you know, helping breaking this new album for you. And I said, great. So he and I are working together. So it's brought a lot of people from my past back into my life, which is really cool.
That's a great story. And while we're talking about the new album, and you mentioned Patrick Swayze, a portion of proceeds of sales from the new album, I believe, are going to pancreatic cancer research.
Pancreatic cancer, yeah. And those demos that I told you about that they filmed the movie to, Time of My Life, Hungry Eyes, I actually have a charity on Facebook. If you go to Dirty Dancing Demos, you can purchase those demos that they made the movie to. And over the past 30 years, I've raised about $30,000 selling those demos that I've donated to pancreatic cancer. So it's a good cause, you know, that I feel strongly about. And so every chance I can, I try to find a project that I can take money from and give it to pancreatic cancer. I have a show called Calling All Divas that I wrote, created, and that show, when we play it out, we put it like in New York at a couple of theaters in New York, and then we went to the Keswick Theater in Philly, and we're doing a tour down in Florida in November. So all of those dates, I take a portion of those proceeds and I donate it to pancreatic cancer as well. It's just a great cause.
It's a beautiful thing.
In Patrick's name.
Yeah, the Calling All Divas project, which tours the Dirty Dancing Demos, and proceeds from this new release coming up. It's September 22nd. Portions of those,
right,
it all goes towards pancreatic cancer research in Patrick's memory, which is a really
absolutely. In fact, I'm doing a festival next week, the Dirty Dancing Festival.
Just getting to that. You're one step ahead of me tonight.
The movie. Yeah, I'm going down there, and they asked me to come down to sing Time of My Life and Hungry Eyes. So next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I'll be in Lake Lore reliving Dirty Dancing.
It's amazing how that little movie like just spawned like a little cult, like a microcosm of culture around it.
It's not a little cult. It's
not
cult. There are
a large one.
There's a club of women called the Thousand Club.
Really?
I've seen the movie 1,000 times. The record sold 55 million copies.
Wow.
It blows me away. So it has quite a cult following, but it's massive. It's pretty massive. When they put out the stage play Dirty Dancing in Australia, in London, in Germany, in the Netherlands, it was the fastest selling stage play in the history of those countries. It sold out like in 2 weeks for 2 years. So the Dirty Dancing phenomenon is alive and well. Cracks me up.
And I again appreciate that, how you're kind of taking some of that popularity and kind of putting it to, like, you know, helping other people via the charity too.
It's a good thing to do. And when I talked to Pamela Acosta from Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, and that's the name of the charity, she told me it was the least supported cancer charity by the government of any of the cancer charities out there. And so I have this theory, if everybody in the world gave a dollar, we could conquer pancreatic cancer.
I heard that.
Yeah. I'm trying to just do my part, you know. Just it's a little part, but it's, you know, just me trying to help.
That's a beautiful thing. We've got about 20 seconds left. Thank you so much for being a part of the program. I've gotten a little taste of the new album. I'm looking forward to the whole thing coming out on September 22nd.
27th. It's already 27th. Out. The single's coming out on the 27th.
On the 27th. Thank you so much, Frank.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure talking with you.